Hello, everyone. This is Nan Walden. We're glad to be with you again. Mr. Walden Sr. is here to help you and give you Bible answers to any questions you may have concerning the Bible, your life as a Christian, or any spiritual needs you may have, or perhaps some Bible verse that you may not understand. Please drop us a card in care of the station to which you're listening, and Mr. Walden will try to get to your question as soon as possible. If you prefer that your question be answered privately, enclose a self-addressed envelope, and your problem will be held in strict confidence. Now, our first question today, Mr. Walden, is, are ordinances the same as sacraments?
Well, the word ordinance, which occurs in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is usually, by Protestant people, connected with two things, baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are some churches which have more ordinances than those, or which they call ordinances. Actually, this word ordinance is the same word translated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15 as tradition, or literally the oral teaching. So Paul is saying to them here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the oral teachings as I delivered them to you. Now he is writing them down. And the thing that he writes down specially in 1 Corinthians 11 is concerning the Lord's Supper. Now the word sacrament is not used in the Bible, but it is a term which means a sacred oath, a solemn sacred promise. Personally, I do not believe that either baptism or the Lord's Supper can properly be called a sacred oath. In baptism, we are being buried, according to Romans chapter 6, and if I'm talking to an unburied person who has died with Christ, for that's what the Lord tells us has happened, then you need to be exercised about this. You should obey the Lord by being baptized in water by immersion. This is what I believe the New Testament teaches. And even churches that have different customs, you will find in their writings that they, of course, say that the original method of baptizing in Bible times was by immersion in water. Now, baptism is not a part of salvation of the soul, and neither is the Lord's Supper. This is what I believe the Bible teaches. I believe in baptism. I was baptized many, many years ago. I believe in the Lord's Supper. I try to observe it every first day of the week, if it's at all possible. But I do not do either one of these to get to heaven. I do them because the Lord has asked me to do it. He asked me to be baptized once in order that I might take my place in burial with him, that I might witness to the world that I have died with Christ and now live with him. And I take the Lord's Supper to show that I do remember my Savior, that I am looking for him to come back again.
Thank you. Perhaps you'd like this question. It's quite unrelated to the one you just had. What books have been omitted from the Bible?
Not any. I know that there are some who say that some books have been omitted from our Bible, but remember that until the Council of Trent, which took place in the 16th century, none of these apocryphal books were ever included in any edition of the Scriptures. Now, the Jews themselves certainly ought to be an authority on what was Old Testament Scripture. The apocryphal books were not even written in Hebrew originally, and they were never connected with the Old Testament. They are more or less accurate historical books, but they never were part of the Old Testament Scriptures. The Christians in New Testament times never accepted them, never regarded them as Scripture, until, as I said, the Council of Trent in the 16th century.
I think this is a very good question, Mr. Walden. How can a dead sinner do anything to be saved?
Well, I'm not sure just what the questioner has in mind. It may be that someone is saying, well, if I am really dead to God, if I am a dead sinner, then I can't do anything, so I'll just sit here and wait until God does it. Now, I do believe in the sovereign elective choice of God. You must believe that if you believe the New Testament. But at the same time, I believe in the individual responsibility of man. There are two schools of thought among theologians, those who study the Bible and make it their life study. There are the Calvinistic teachers and the Arminian. That won't interest most of you, but then briefly this is the division. There are some who put all the emphasis on what God does, and there are others who put all the emphasis on what man does. Now, the teaching of the Word of God is that God himself has certain responsibilities which he has faithfully discharged. But the Scripture also teaches that man has some responsibilities which he must discharge. That you do have something that is expected of you, something which you must do in order to become a Christian, is very plain from every New Testament passage that I know anything about. For instance, in the 5th chapter of John, where he takes up the matter of a dead sinner, as this question says, this is what he says. The Lord Jesus himself is the speaker, and in verse 24 of John 5, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now what does he expect this dead sinner to do in order to pass out of death into life? He expects him to do two things, to hear his word and to believe on him. Well, the very next verse says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, dead people cannot hear the voices of fellow human beings. But dead people can hear the voice of the Son of God. This is very evident in the case of the little girl who died. The Lord Jesus said to her, "Get up, little lamb, Talitha kumi." He said to to Lazarus, who was dead 4 days, sealed in his tomb. First of all, he said to the people, "Take the stone away." And then he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. Now we're told that in the future day, all that are in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. That's farther down in this 5th chapter, verse 28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." So it is possible for a dead sinner to hear the word of God, to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, you're not going to hear God's voice speaking to you audibly. If you start hearing any voices, you need to see a psychiatrist. You're not going to hear any voices. You're going to hear when you read or listen to the Word of God read. You must read what God says. People are not reading the Bible today. They're not concerned about what God said. They'll read everything else. They'll read the paper from one end to the other. They'll read a number of magazines. They'll listen to TV and radio. But you can't get people to hear the Word of God. Now, you are responsible, my friend, to hear what God has to say. And you hear the Word of God when you listen to His Word or when you read it for yourself. Now, the Lord Jesus Himself has done all that was needed to answer for our sins. Salvation is not a matter of works. "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," Ephesians 2:8-9 says. Romans 4:4-5 says, "To him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then in Titus 3:5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So it's very plain from Scripture that salvation is a finished work. An old writer said this, the gospel is not a work to do, but a word to believe about a work that is done. You like that? The gospel is not a work to do, but a word to believe about a work that is done. And our Lord Jesus said when he died on the cross, it is finished. Now you and I must believe what he says. But we have a responsibility. It's put this way in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now God has done his part. He has given his Son. The Lord Jesus has done his part. He has suffered and died in your place and put your sins away. Will you not do your part and receive him?
Yes, our time is gone again. It goes so quickly.